more practical point of view here in 1 John 4, because most of us know verse 13 quite well, right? We use it all the time, and we witness to the lost. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. But John is telling us he wrote this epistle that we might know that we have eternal life. And that's important, isn't it? That we know we have eternal life, and we'd share that with new believers. You can now know, based on the Word of God, that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. But God wants us to know some other things. And 1 John is all about some things he wants us to know. We're not going to go through all of them. But another one has to do with prayer, which is the theme of our revival this year. So it goes on to say, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Verse 15, "And if we know." So there's something else God wants us to know. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know. There it is again. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God wants Christians to know that God hears and answers prayer. Amen? I know that sounds simplistic, but I believe that Christians should experience answered prayer every day. Amen. Specific, as Brother Paul mentioned, specific answered prayers every day. Not general, "Well, God did bless me today," but specific, "God answered a prayer today, my prayer that I prayed in my prayer closet that nobody else knew about, God answered it today." And John says, he wants us, as he said in verse 14, he wants us to have this confidence. That's an important word for Christians, that we have confidence that our God hears and answers prayer. So, that's my title is "According to His Will." According to His Will. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us, and thank you for the privilege to be here and to fellowship with believers from all over the island. And Lord, what a great time that we have being able to share this time with brothers and sisters. And now, Lord, as we worship you in song and go to your word, we pray that you would use it in our hearts, that we would open our hearts to hear from you and listen and allow you to change us through the power of your amazing word. And so we give you this service and pray you'll be glorified in it. In Christ's name, amen. So if we have the confidence that God answers prayer, as it says, if we ask anything, what John is saying is it's a given that we're going to pray. It's not a maybe. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we know that all through the scriptures, God doesn't say, "If you feel like it, I want you to pray." Or, "If you're in the mood, I want you to pray." No, we're told to pray all the time. Amen? We know this. God tells it all through the scriptures. David said, Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Luke 18, Jesus says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Most of us know 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Three little words, but wow, what a big message. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And 1 Timothy 2:8, "I will that men pray everywhere." And we could go on for another 5 or 10 minutes, couldn't we? Mm-hmm. Where God commands us to pray. So we are, again, John wrote this saying, this is the confidence that if we ask anything. And so it's not a question of should we pray, but we're going to pray. But then he puts this phrase in here, verse 14, "according to his will." There's only four words, but those are the four words I really want to focus on today, because I believe this is so important for us as Christians, that we are to pray, no question about it, but we're to pray according to his will. What does that mean? What does it mean, according to his will? Well, I think it really has two meanings. Number one, God wants us to be in tune with his will. We're commanded to, actually. Let's look at it in Ephesians 5, over there, Ephesians 5:17. Most of you know the verse, but let's look at it anyway. But you take verses like Psalm 37:4, most of us know, what does it say? "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Well, it means that you're in tune with him. Amen? You're delighting in God. You want what he wants. according to his will. And most of us know this passage here in Ephesians 5, but down in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, that's a command. And how many times do we hear Christians say, I don't really know what God's will is. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, if God commanded us to understand it, do you think that means he intends to keep it a big secret from you for the rest of your Christian life? Or that he's willing to reveal it to you if you'll seek it? And I believe he is. And that's a separate sermon series, which we're not going to go into today. But we're commanded to understand what the will of the Lord is. And so what I meant was, when I said I think it has two meanings, I think, first of all, God wants us to seek and seek and seek his will. And by the way, Ephesians 5 is a great place to understand how to do that. You know, study that chapter, and it's a great sermon outline, by the way, on how to find the will of God. But the second meaning, I believe, is he also, when we pray, he wants us to pray in according to his guidelines for prayer, according to his will. And I'll explain it here in a few moments. And that's what I want to focus on today, because is it possible to pray selfishly? Of course. You know, James chapter 4 especially talks about that, doesn't it? You have not because you pray and you ask and receive not because you may want to consume it upon your lusts, it says in James 4:3. Pray selfishly. Well, that's not according to the will of God, is it, that we pray selfishly? So I want to just quickly give five things today to keep it as short as possible. And then I have an acrostic to maybe help for anybody who's taking notes. Five areas that when we pray, we need to make sure we're praying according to his will. And the first one is the obvious one, and that is that there be no iniquity in our hearts. Listen, if you're going to go to your prayer time with unconfessed sin, you're wasting your time. And I hate to say it so directly, because we have access to the throne of the Creator of the universe, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? We can come boldly into the throne of grace. But whose throne is it? It's a holy God. And God expects us to come with our sin dealt with. That doesn't mean we're sinless, because then we might as well not pray, because none of us are sinless. But it does mean that we're not bringing unconfessed sin into that prayer closet. If we do, we are hindering our prayers. And that is a fact of Scripture. Psalm 6 and 6:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, in honesty. Does God know about the sin in your life? Of course he does. But he does want us to be honest about it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. But let's go to Isaiah 59, which is probably one of the most powerful passages on this truth. Point number one, and that is when we come to our prayer time, and I know this, again, sounds kind of simplistic, but I want us to make sure, if you will, even call it a checklist, that when we do enter our prayer closet, that we've made sure that we've dealt with these five things, because they are according to his will. And the number one most important thing is, if you're going to come to your prayer time, whenever it might be, and by the way, it should be all day long, you have short accounts with God, your sin is confessed. You've dealt with it. It doesn't mean you're sinless, but you're not coming to God with prayer that's not been dealt with. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It doesn't say cannot hear, does it? It says will not hear. That is an act of our Creator's will to not hear. Because of what? Sin. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And we know this is the truth all throughout Scripture. John himself in chapter 1, we all know the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is according to God's will that when we pray with our sins confessed. That they've been dealt with, that we keep short accounts. You can say it however you want. The second thing, let's go to Proverbs 28:9, and that is, when we pray, God expects us to be students of His Word. He expects us to be in His Word. He expects us to be doing everything we can to keep ourselves aligned with His Word. Proverbs 28:9, He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. David said, oh, how love I thy law in Psalm 119:97. Is my meditation all the day. David said, I'm in love with God's word. And he was called a man after God's own heart. Was he a sinner? Yes. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. My words abide in you. In other words, you're in the Word. You're reading the Word. You're studying the Word. You're memorizing the Word. Doesn't the Bible say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? The two cannot be separated. And one of the main reasons for that is because this and Jesus are synonymous. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you enter that prayer closet, you're speaking to the Word. Well, if you're not in the Word, then it will hinder your prayers. And so that means that you're, as best as you can, and again, none of us can be sinless, but as best as you can, you are obeying this book. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And how did John say it? Look at 1 John 3:22. He said, whatsoever we ask. Well, that's we love that phrase, don't we? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So again, if you want to enter your prayer closet and you're living a disobedient life, those two things don't go together. Because this is a holy God you're entering his presence of. So when you come to your prayer time, are you coming with your sins confessed? And are you coming aligned with God's word? Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that to the best of your ability, you are obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ, because he said, if you love me, keep them. And how did John say it in verse 3 of our chapter? This is the love of God. Now, most churches would definitely not give this definition. They would say it has to do with having a good worship team or whatever. But God says, if we keep his commandments.
Amen.
God says that is how you show your love to him, is through obedience. And he goes on to say, and his commandments are not grievous. If they feel heavy to you, that's not because they're heavy. It's because you've got a heart problem. But his commandments are not grievous. They're wonderful. And that the only way we're going to have a victorious and fruitful Christian life is if we're doing our best to walk an obedient Christian life. And so that's the second check, if you will, is when you enter your prayer life or your prayer closet or your prayer time, not only have you dealt with sin that the Holy Spirit keeps pointing out, but you also are doing your best to walk obediently. You're in tune with the word. Number three, let's go to Matthew 21:22. And that is kind of a basic one. And that's that we come believing. Or call it faith. But Jesus said, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. And then he's got two comments there with just one little word in it. Believing, ye shall receive. How many times do we pray things where we really, in our hearts, we really don't believe God's going to do it? Or that he even can. Because it might have to do with a person and their current situation, their heart, or whatever. And really deep down inside, we're thinking, there's no way God can do this. The person's too stubborn or whatever. Nothing limits God like not believing God. We see that with Israel, don't we? In the desert. God was just taking such good care of them and blessing with manna and water out of a rock and keeping their shoes from wearing out and just watching over them. And the whole time, all they did was complain and moan about their situation. And that made God more angry than anything they could have done because they weren't trusting him. They weren't believing that he would take care of them and watch over them. Instead, it was always, he brought us out here to kill us. We're going to go back to Egypt. And so, as we know, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. God said that. So when you come to prayer, got your sin dealt with, you're keeping the short accounts, and when you come to prayer, you've made sure that you're walking obediently as best you can with your understanding of Jesus' commandments. When you ask, believe. I know it sounds basic, but don't bother praying it if you don't believe God can do it. God said, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We should all just know in a childlike way, no, God can do anything. And there's nothing wrong with praying big, by the way. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 81:10. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And I don't take it in the context of food. I think God is saying, don't be afraid to pray big. And then, of course, James 1, what does he say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and it shall be given him. Most of us know that verse, James 1:5. But what's the next verse say? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God said that. That if we waver, that God says, why are you praying? And he goes on to say, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, the third, if you will, check to be sure that we're in a line with God's will is faith. Do we believe? Do we really believe God can answer this prayer? And it might be really big. God doesn't mind. He's got big shoulders. Amen? Pray big. Pray as big as you want to pray. And actually, I believe it honors God when we pray big. Number four, Matthew 11. Very important one, and it ties in with number one, but I just wanted to put it separate because it's such a big hindrance for a lot of Christians, and that has to do with forgiveness. But Matthew 11:25, when you stand praying, there's another word with a comma on both sides, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you stand praying, forgive. You're not going to get far in your prayer life if you're bringing bitterness into your prayer closet. That is a fact. Jesus says in Matthew 18, after telling the parable of the unmerciful servant, he says, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We have to forgive. Why? Because we'd all be going to hell if it wasn't for forgiveness. That's the truth, isn't it? And God says, be ye kind, tender-hearted one another, what? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the measurement of our forgiveness, God's. And I trust me, I've been in the ministry 30 years, I've heard it all. Why people don't want to forgive, why they can't forgive, why the offense is just too big. I'm sorry. There's no exceptions. This doesn't matter. You have to forgive. And if you choose to not forgive and you choose to hold on to it and allow that to become bitterness in your life, it will hinder your prayers. That's just the truth. God said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is then forgive you your trespasses. We have to forgive. And that's check number four, if you will. And then lastly, kind of a basic one. Most of us know Philippians 4. Let's turn there. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Usually when we look at these two verses, we emphasize the be careful for nothing. That word careful meaning in modern day language, basically anxious. But that's usually what we focus on. But I want to just look a little further. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We have to live a life of gratitude. That's commanded, by the way. It's not an option. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Psalm 92:1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And we could go on again for a long time, couldn't we? With all the commands to be thankful for everything, even our enemies, even our trials, even the pain. And God, I believe, is saying that if we're going to come to His presence in His prayer closet, but we're ungrateful, it's going to hinder our prayers. Because we are commanded to be grateful for everything, all the time. You know, Paul was our example, wasn't he? Writing from prison, telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. Of all places to write us that message from. And Paul was thankful. And Paul, you talk about a man who went through a lot of suffering. He did. And he tells us we have to be thankful always for all things. And if we aren't, I believe it can hinder our prayers. So just to give you an acrostic to kind of help, it took a while to find something, but the word built, B-U-I-L-T, might help you, kind of a cross-check list. So B for believe, U for unforgiveness, I for iniquity, L for law, and T for thanksgiving. But if we're going to pray according to His will, then let's pray according to His will. All of these verses that I used today were about prayer, and they're according to His will. I'll quote them again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's clear. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And when you stand praying, forgive. And be careful for nothing, but at everything by supplication with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. So it's definitely God's will that we observe these things when we pray. So go back to our passage now. That was my introduction. Verse 15. And if we know. So there's another know. If we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The last thing I want to do today is discourage you from praying. Say, well, I shouldn't pray because I haven't dealt with sin in my heart, or I shouldn't pray because I haven't forgiven this person. Well, then deal with the sin in your heart and forgive the person. But don't stop praying because you know your prayers are being hindered. That's kind of a backwards way of thinking, isn't it? So I'm not trying to say don't pray, but I am saying when you do pray, make sure that you're praying according to His will. Because God has promised us that He loves us. We're His children. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. One day we're going to spend forever with Him in heaven. And He hears our prayers. Amen. And wants to answer them. He does. Look at Psalm 65:2. God is a prayer-answering God. And that's what John said here. If we know that He hears us, we also know that we will have the petitions that we ask. In other words, we not only know that He hears us because we are coming through the blood of Jesus to the throne of grace, but we also know that He'll answer, which goes back to the faith thing. But Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now look at Proverbs 15:8. The Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. There's not a long list of things the Bible says God delights in. But one of them, it says, is our prayers. Imagine that. Wonder why that would be. Could it be because He originally created us for fellowship? When you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, He created us in His image so that we would, in turn, fellowship with Him. Now, we lost that in the fall, but praise God, 2,000 years ago, we were given it back through the blood of our Savior. And when we spend time with God, the Bible says it is a delight to Him. So, God loves it when we pray. That's why He tells us that verse, Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly into the throne of grace. God wrote that. Be bold about it. Don't be afraid. You can come because of the blood of Jesus. You've been given the righteousness of Christ. You can enter the Holy of Holies. And do it boldly. And that verse that I mentioned earlier, James 1:5. It shall be given him. God wants to answer our prayers. The passage that Brother Brinkman quoted. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's Jesus commanding us. Ask. Seek. Knock. I want you to pray. I want you to ask. And never does Jesus tell us, but don't ask too big. Can anybody think of a verse that even hints that direction? No, he talks about moving mountains. And I don't think anybody in this room has ever done that yet. But that's pretty big. Lifting up a mountain and throwing it into the sea, that's pretty big. That's the sort of thing Jesus tells us to pray for. Pray big. Don't be afraid. And that's what John is saying here in verse 15. If we know that He hears us. So if we have the faith to know that God is hearing my prayers because I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I know that He hears me because I've dealt with my sin life, whenever the Holy Spirit has convicted me of something, I've dealt with it. I've confessed it. If I've needed to forgive someone, I've dealt with that. I've forgiven them. I'm in His Word. I'm trying to obey His commandments the best that I can. I'm doing my best to align myself according to His will. Therefore, I know that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, what's He say? I also know that I'm going to have the petitions. I also know He's going to answer. If I know He hears, I know He'll answer. And that is how God wants us to approach our prayer life. Knowing. Knowing. Not only verse 13 that we have eternal life, hallelujah, but that He hears us and that He will answer us. But it must be according to His will. And that's important. So, do you know God's will for your life? I hope so. If you don't, get into the Word until He shows you exactly what He wants for your life. He will show you. Stay in Ephesians 5 and 6 until He shows you. But also, when you go to your prayer time, just check yourself. Am I where I need to be? Am I coming to God with thanksgiving? Am I coming to God with no unforgiveness in my life? Am I coming to God with short accounts? Am I coming to God doing my best to obey His Word? In other words, His Word is a vital part of my walk in Christ. And am I coming to God knowing that He will answer? As John said, knowing that we have the petitions. That's what faith's all about, isn't it? That's why Jesus said, you know, if you don't come with the faith as a little child, children have no trouble believing, do they? Okay, this is your Creator and He's God and He loves you and you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell, but God loved you so much He died in your place and He rose again. And if you'll trust Him, He will give you eternal life. Children say, yeah, that makes sense. I'll get saved. Adults say, oh, that's too easy, or no, that, I can't do that. But then you tell them, and He, since He made the whole universe, by the way, He can do anything. And He said, if we'll just ask, He'll answer. Kids just say, yeah, I can do that. Us adults, we complicate it, don't we? Nah, that's too big. I can't bother God with that. Bother Him. He wants the fellowship. Amen. And we can know that He hears us, and we can know that He will answer according to His will. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this reminder.